A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm John McEnroe.
I'm Bjorn Borg.
This is Martina Navratilova.
I'm Mats Wilander.
I'm Stan Wawrinka.
This is Mary Carrillo.
I'm Andy Murray.
And you're listening to the Tennis Podcast.
So here we go with another tennis podcast recorded about 2 hours after original plans because of Denis Shapovalov and Alexander Zverev delayed us because they got involved in an exciting match in a warehouse, also known as Paris Indoor Court Number 1. And Catherine Whittaker. Hello, Catherine.
Hello, David.
Hello. Matt Roberts.
Hello.
Hello. And myself were all watching it and having a conversation in which we also started to reveal the contents of our sixth form experience, where I was thrown out of geography, Catherine was refused entry into her history exams, and Matt Roberts, well, he didn't put a foot wrong. I don't quite know how we got onto any of that. This is a tennis podcast. We are going to talk about the WTA finals, which was all a bit downbeat today, I have to say. But we've got loads of other stuff to talk about as well.
You're going to trail more sadness.
Yes. I mean, come on, Catherine. What is going on? I think we've had 5 days and we've had three players pull out of the entire thing.
It's no good, is it? It's not. I mean, it's always a risk with end-of-year events, but it's rubbish. It's absolutely rubbish.
It is an unrecognisable tournament to the one that we started with because about 40% of the players have changed.
I mean, they have run out of... I mean, it's a good job that we're into the semi-finals nearly because we've run out of alternates. Arina Sabalenka was going to be next in, which would have been fine. But anyway, Sofia Kenin is now going to have to replace Bianca Andreescu, who officially pulled out of tomorrow's matches. But today, the withdrawal was Kiki Bertens in the second match of the day, and it kind of came without any warning. She was 5-3 up against Belinda Bencic. Everything was going swimmingly, and she'd got a 3-love head-to-head advantage over Bencic, and then she hit one shot. I thought initially she'd got a back problem because she sort of slightly winced and held the lower part of her back. But then it became clear that it was more an illness. And actually, I mean, slightly worryingly, it started to look a bit more like what she'd had at Roland Garros when she pulled out of the second round, didn't she, there? And she had a really bad gastrointestinal infection.
Yeah, viral illness, I think, has been given as the official reason. She said to her coach that she couldn't bend down for shots, that's what she was struggling with. I mean, I hadn't seen much inkling of it in the first set. She led by a break, didn't she, at one stage in the first set before Bencic came back and took it 7-5. So it felt a little bit out of the blue, but I suppose not in the context of this tournament.
Or her season. This was her 81st singles match.
It's a lot of tennis, isn't it? It was. I'm sure a lot more so for her, but it was quite harrowing to have those echoes of what happened to her in Paris. That was one of the most startling moments of the season, wasn't it? And I kind of buried it. But it was, I mean, she went into Roland Garros as one of the strong favourites to win that title. And, you know, given that we ended up with a relatively surprise winner there at the time, not implausible at all that had she not had that illness, she could have ended up lifting that title. So, that was an unwelcome reminder of one of the stranger and more distressing moments of the 2019 season.
Well done to Belinda Bencic, who wins through to the semi-finals and remains on course for Catherine to be right. It was quite one of those where Catherine picked her to be the champion, and then about an hour and a half later, when she'd lost her first match, completely revised that judgment.
Well, I just need her to stay fit and healthy, and she'll be fine, because everyone else will have pulled out.
Yeah,
by Sunday. Somebody, just wrap yourself in cotton wool till Sunday, Belinda.
Somebody did suggest that maybe Sophia Kenin might win it just because she's the only one left standing at the end.
Yes. Yeah, someone responded to my tweet saying the last four will be, that last four is a very appropriate term for the semi-finals, because literally they are the last four players who are fit, yeah.
Oh, it's such a shame. Such a shame.
It is. And
I feel like, well, I feel like if this were happening in the ATP finals, which it has happened more there recently, and there's always been a lot of hypothesizing about, well, it's probably because they're playing five sets at slams and all that kind of thing. I think this is proof that actually I don't think it's too much to do with the sets that they play at slams four times a year. I just think there's a bit too much tennis generally. And certainly in Bertens's case, I mean, what a mammoth effort she's had to put in to even get here, playing every week since the US Open. I mean, it's not totally surprising, really, that she's ended up kind of getting an illness and being completely shot of any energy, running on fumes. And those 8 weeks were split across Asia and Europe. She's gone back and forth in that time. I mean, I think she was kind of waiting. This was just bound to happen eventually, I think.
Yeah, it's a real shame. Yeah, she's hit the wall, and also they're on these planes with all these what must be pretty unhealthy circumstances when you're on planes that much. Even if you're in the nice bit, the air's still the same, or at least I believe it is. I've never been up there. But anyway, before that we had who else played today? I can't even remember who played.
Kvitova.
Yeah, oh, crikey. She didn't look much healthier either. Oh, dear, oh, dear. She was out of gas after about five games.
She is on the first flight out of Shenzhen.
Yeah, I mean, she basically came out and decided to throw the kitchen sink at Ash Barty for as long as she could, and that lasted about 3.5 games. And once Barty had soaked that up, she took over. And it did add weight. The performance of Barty definitely added weight to that feeling that the round-robin element was part of the problem a couple of days ago in the way she tailed away against Bertens, because there was nothing of that today, was there? She was clinical. She was ruthless. I thought she was fantastic today.
Yeah, she was so fantastic. It again made the result and the spectacular drop-off against Bertens a couple of days ago feel all the more inexplicable, because it was... Normal service resumed today for Ash Barty. Her serve was back on. Her forehand was back on. She'd found a rhythm. The slices were biting into the court. She was great. I mean, Kvitova was pretty bad, I would say. I don't think it's an exaggeration to say she was bad. The court doesn't suit her. I think she had just had enough of the whole thing, you know. Remember, I think of Kvitova as being a really good indoor player. She ought to be a really good indoor player. And I know these are very particular indoor conditions, aren't they? But it was just a whole concoction of bad things.
This surface is a joke, Kvitova. It is a joke. And in our BT Sports studio, Joe Jury and Kjotovong were going to town on it, because, you know, at the end of the year you've got drained players and they're grinding it out and looking miserable, and give them something to work with. At least make it even, at least make it medium if you're not going to make it quick. I mean, and maybe that's unfair, because I don't think that's the reason Kiki Bertens has got ill today. Of course not. But it certainly would have helped a more level playing field.
I don't know enough about the manufacture, I don't even know if that's the right word, the manufacturing process of a new tennis court to know whether it's an exact science, whether you phone up the manufacturer and say, I'd like a medium-paced indoor tennis court, please, to deliver to Shenzhen in October 2019, or whether it's a less binary process than that, whether it's a sort of slightly greyer, fluffier kind of, you know, let's suck it and see type thing, or whether there even is that much of a discussion about what speed they'd like. I mean, surely there is, but then I don't know. Does anyone know?
Well, you also get players going on a court and disagreeing about whether it's quick or not, don't you? Although they seem this week to be absolutely universally in agreement that this
That's
is
what
slow.
I mean. I mean, is it possible that the WTA were on the phone to Tennis Courts R Us saying, hey, we wanted a medium paced court. We've got a sandpaper court.
We've had both extremes in Australia over the years, haven't we? And even in the US Open. Remember when, you know, you were talking yesterday, Catherine, I think about Kvitova being unable to hit through the courts. And I was thinking back to how one Martin Del Potro couldn't even hit winners on that US Open court against Novak Djokovic in the final a couple of years ago. Or last year.
Last year, yeah. And Jim Courier said he thought they'd slowed it down for John Isner, which is one of the more niche bits of punditry that I've heard. Yeah.
Do it for Sam.
But that's it. You have heard, whether it be tournament directors or people like talk about conscious slowing down or speeding up of courts in the past. So I do think it is a thing that you can control. I don't quite know how it happens, but I definitely think they could have laid a faster court if they wanted to. But yeah, I was really struck by Kvitova's recent record at this tournament. That's now 2 years in a row. She's gone zero wins and three losses. And for someone whose tennis is like often considered to be pretty much the best when she's on, to have such a poor recent record against the best is pretty concerning. I just think it's what Joe Drury was saying to you in commentary, David, that most of the time you go out on a tennis court and you play average. Like, you can't be expected to play your best all the time, but Kvitova's average level just seems to be lower than the other players in this field.
And actually, I think she plays... I don't think she plays that more standard level that everybody else plays. She either plays incredibly well or it looks awful.
Yeah, and she has enough good weeks over a season where she can put together she can qualify for the WTA finals as she does consistently, but it's not necessarily built on year-round consistency. It's kind of built on just a few weeks here and there.
So that leaves us with only one more meaningful match before the semi-finals, because tomorrow is Simona Halep against Karolina Pliskova tomorrow, and the other one is Kenin against, who's she playing now?
Svitolina,
which is an irrelevance, really. It's an exhibition match.
Playing for $450,000.
Yeah, I mean, I'd probably try harder than against Matt if I was at
that. Can you imagine playing a tennis match or doing anything in your life that where the stakes were $450,000 and having people think of it as an irrelevance? I mean, I know what you mean and you're right, but let's just take a step back.
Maybe they should just say whoever wins, it goes to charity. Don't think
Sophia Kenin's week's been for nothing. she's spent a whole week having massages all day long. It would be such a shame if that were for nothing.
So can you think of anything in life where somebody would get massages throughout a week and that would be regarded as for nothing?
Oh, we're too far down the rabbit hole.
Right. So that was it, really. And then in the semi-finals, we've ended up with...
It was really rubbish today.
Belinda Bencic against... who's she playing now? Svitolina?
Well,
Barty against Svitolina. Barty against Svitolina in the
Either Pliskova or Halep.
Hold on. What have we got now? It's the winner of this group, who is Barty, against either Halep or Pliskova.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's Bencic against the winner of that group, which is Svitolina.
Who is Svitolina.
Oh, I'm sick of round robin already. We haven't even had the ATP finals. We haven't even had the next gen. Oh.
Oh, I can't. I don't have the mental capacity to get involved with first to four scoring again. First to four. I'm going to have to just float above the next gen finals.
And Davis Cup finals and ATP Cup are all. Everything's round robin for like the next 2 months. Everything.
Oh, God. Did you see they've cancelled the no let rule in the next gen? That was one of my favourite rules.
Have they?
That's my favourite rule change.
Yeah, they've got rid of it because apparently the players hate it.
Right.
That's the best one.
I know.
The players are an irrelevance. Sorry, they're about 12 years old and they can do what they're told as far as I'm concerned. Right. Well, let's get away from the
Hubert Hurkacz hates the let rule, so the whole world must bow to his demands. I don't even know if he's next gen anymore. I don't think he is.
Can't believe you're picking on Hubert.
I don't think he's next gen. I don't know. Ugo and Bear.
I always get those two mixed up.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, Tennis Podcast listeners. David here. Now, you might know that I love a bit of cooking, and I think I'm quite good at it. But if I'm honest, even I get fed up trying to work out what to do every night. That's where Home Chef comes in. Being able to put together a delicious meal without the long prep and the cook times, well, that's pretty cool. Home Chef provides fresh ingredients and chef-designed recipes conveniently delivered to your doorstep to simplify your cooking experience. They have over 30 options a week and serve a variety of dietary needs, so you don't have to worry about what to make ahead of time. Not only is it convenient, but it's economical too. Home Chef customers save an average of $86 per month on groceries. Now, for a limited time, Home Chef is offering Tennis Podcast listeners 18 free meals plus free dessert for life and, of course, free shipping on your very first box. Go to homechef.com/tennis. That's homechef.com/tennis for 18 free meals and free dessert for life. You heard it right. Anyway, let's move on to Denis Shapovalov and Alexander Zverev, which was a slightly jollier, more energetic occasion in the car park court, which I mean, it was absolutely jam-packed with people, but it doesn't look like a Masters 1000 tennis tournament when you look at it, and yet I love it. I absolutely love how you suddenly get taken back to basics and you're given this camera angle which is head height to the players, and you get to see, well, actually I think we've talked about it before, how you get to see these wonderful spins that they put on the ball, the violence that they're hitting the ball with, the movement. You get to see it in a different way, and it was a good match. I don't think Zverev played well at all. He's qualified now for the O2, hasn't he? And again, I did sense a little bit of, I've qualified, I can't really be bothered. There was a bit of that.
Do you think so?
I did feel like that, yeah. Even if it was only subconsciously. I you know, I'm not saying he didn't try, but the edge wasn't there.
Well, if that's the case, that's alarming, because he really, really ought to be bothered for for a Masters 1000
just subconsciously
match like
though,
that
a little
against
bit like,
another.
But it's like
I know,
Barty
he's not next
again
gen,
the other
but you know
day.
What I mean.
I look at it like Barty the other day, just having in the back of a mind, does it really matter? You know,
I want that kind of match to matter, Tim.
Yeah, but that's part of his problem, isn't it? He has got that sort of slight entitlement. Barry Cowan was saying in commentary, and I think he got this right at the start of the match, you'd got Zverev walking out from the sit-down, you know, where they come out, they put their bags down, and he took forever to get up and actually go for the coin toss, as though he really couldn't be bothered, you know. And you got Dennis jumping up and down, and Zverev didn't really look ready to start the match. And lo and behold, he was a breakdown within a few minutes' time. I thought Shapovalov was excellent today for the most part, and he probably should have won in straight sets, but this is a big deal to him. These are the first sets he's ever won against Zverev, and he beat him in three sets. It reminded me quite of a lot of the match that Shapovalov won against Tsitsipas, I think in, was it Indian Wells or Miami? One of those two.
Miami.
And again, that was on the second court. Fantastic match.
That was so good.
It was wonderful. But there are definitely strides being taken by Shapovalov. I mean, he's got a long way to go. He's got another year and a half's worth of Mikhail Yuzhny drilling him into the ground like a sergeant major over the next 18 months. But I think the potential is there. What did you think of his performance overall, Catherine?
I still think it's looking quite raw. I still think the way he's playing looks quite raw. And I think there are improvements with Yuzhny. I agree with you. I don't think it's going to be a hard grind. It's a long road. I hope they're both set in for that. I'm sure Yuzhny is, but he doesn't mind a long road, does he? But I mean, and he did hit the worst volley that I have ever hit, ever seen a professional tennis player hit. I don't understand how someone whose job it is to play tennis hits a volley that bad. Well, he was standing over the net. I mean, he had an open court. He's standing over the net. It's a forehand volley. He doesn't even have to move. The ball is sailing towards his racket. And it's at head height. It could not be more perfect. And he hit it and it bounced before the net. There wasn't even any space between him and the net, but it bounced before the net. It was so rubbish. A rubbish club player would cringe at it, would turn around and go, oh, if you were playing doubles, you're a rubbish club player, you're playing doubles and you miss that volley, you'd turn around to your partner and go, oh, mate, I'm so sorry.
I've never done anything like that before, I must say.
I don't know how that happens. But anyway,
Well, I understand the agony of hitting a shot that bounces before the net, Dennis. So I feel your pain. However, you came back and won, unlike me. So well done.
And as you made reference to some of there, he has been involved in so many of my peak tennis watching moments of the year, Dennis Shapovalov. He reels me in, you know, sat with Four Beers Law in a bar in New York watching that match against Gael Monfils. The match he played, the two matches, the TFO match in Miami on another car parky court, an outdoor car park, a great car parky court, but you know, relative to the first court, the main court, main stadium in Miami, a lot smaller, and then that Tsitsipas match in Miami as well. He's electrifying at his best, completely electrifying. And I may be overly harsh on him because I want him to succeed so much, because I want as many of those moments as possible.
Do you think we're seeing major strides, Matt?
Strides, for sure.
That, David, was shade. Strides.
I mean, I almost think he needs to be like less spectacular. Like, he needs to knuckle down and just find ways to win points by making the opponent miss a bit more, which is what I saw today. He was using that chip return quite effectively, and Zverev doesn't deal particularly well with that sort of thing. He looks a bit uncertain whether he needs to come forward off it or stay back, and he makes a lot of errors. He cleaned up his serve a lot, Shapovalov. I think he's quite high on the double fault list this season, but there weren't too many today. And I do think this, since he started working with Yuzhny, we've definitely seen a more strategic Shapovalov. I'm slightly worried about the off-season coming at the wrong time for Shapovalov. Like, he is getting a bit of momentum, and we do see it a lot where a player has a good kind of autumn, winter, and then comes out and doesn't look like they've carried that on in the new year. So I really hope he does.
Needs to go on the Roger Federer exhibition road trip.
Wow. Yes, they said in commentary that Zverev is going to be following Federer around over the off season, which I thought was actually quite an accurate description.
The thing is, I actually think that Shapovalov, if anybody needs a proper grown up off season, it is him. He needs to hang out with Mikhail Yuzhny and not be allowed to have a good time at all for 6 weeks, not be allowed to post on social media, not allowed to engage in normal society, but just to be drilled and driven around a tennis court until he has to go to bed. That's basically it. And taught how to be a pro, a professional player, not just a vastly talented junior, which he's okay, that damns him, that's unfair, but it's not wildly unfair. He needs to become a proper pro.
Yeah, he needs to go on a pre-Ashes style boot camp. Have you seen the documentary The Edge? No,
I haven't. Although I did look that up actually, so I might watch that after I've seen Succession and after I've seen the other 28 box sets that you've recommended.
Which one would it have been? 2009 Ashes series in Australia.
This is cricket, everybody.
England team were taken for a. They didn't know where they were going, and Andy Flower, the notoriously hard as nails coach at the time, had booked for them to go on the most despair filled, bleak. A boot camp in the wintry German earth out in the woods, and they all thought they were going to like Oktoberfest or something. They were all like headed to the airport going, yeah, it's going to be great.
Yes.
And like, you know, 2 days later, they're doing press ups in the snow.
This is it. A year ago, Dennis was rapping. Now he needs to be doing push ups.
Press ups in the snow, please.
I would urge caution with extreme training methods, having witnessed Fulham under Felix Magath, who, the story goes, got the Fulham team to run up a mountain and then when they got to the top, instead of giving them the water, he poured it all away and then made them go all the way back down.
Has he been prosecuted for that? Or
he was a nutter, a certified nutter. I can't believe I've brought him up on this podcast because I hate the man.
Right, well, he's had his moment.
Matt looks genuinely distressed.
That's the angriest I've ever
seen. Do you remember when
those
stories emerged of, it must have come out in an interview or something, of Andre Agassi's training regime with Gil Reyes, where he talked about running up and down sand dunes with bricks on his back.
Magic Mountain.
Yeah, Rocky style. Horrifying, absolutely horrifying.
So elsewhere today, we had Novak Djokovic beating Kyle Edmund. Brilliant first set tiebreak, 9-7. And then the most entertaining part of the whole evening was when Novak Djokovic tried to give the on-court interview and has basically got no voice at the moment because he's got a really bad case of the lurgy.
Yeah, it sounds really, 40 a day ropey, doesn't it?
I don't wish ill health on the bloke, but goodness me, I really wasn't expecting that when he opened his mouth. But anyway,
we would really have known about it if Zverev had that cold, wouldn't we?
Yes, Zverev was letting everybody know how irritated with life he was in his defeat. And it's Halloween today, which is why I've had my hood up for the first 5 minutes of the podcast. Then I realised the listeners can't hear it, so I've taken it off. Any other results of note today? We've had Stan Wawrinka playing Rafael Nadal tonight. We haven't seen that one yet. Tsitsipas has won, so it's Tsitsipas Djokovic now.
Yes, please.
Ooh. Yeah. I think Tsitsipas might get him this time. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, he really does sound ropey, Djokovic.
He's not 100%, is he?
Yeah, he's not 100% at all. So I'd say, provided Tsitsipas has enough in the tank, which I think he does. I didn't see much of today, but by all accounts, he looked really good against de Menor. I'd say that's a good opportunity for Tsitsipas. Dimitrov beating Thiem, that big corner turn for Dominic Thiem, David.
No, but he's just knackered.
And anyway, stalled at the traffic lights.
I'm not going to be down on that because Dimitrov, huh? So it's going to be the dream Dimitrov Denis final is on.
I'm starting to put Dimitrov in the Yelena Ostapenko category of what on earth are we going to see from him week after week? I mean, what methods are there for predicting whether you're going to see a world-beating Grigor Dimitrov or an absolute shell of a man?
I prefer that to the "I definitely think he's going to lose and play like a drain" version. So
he was. I'm trying to remember who was he playing in the first round in this week. Dimitrov, he lost the first set. And he was playing like an absolute drain. I texted you and said he's playing like a drain.
This happens a lot.
And then since then, it's as if he saw that message and went, "F you, Catherine Whittaker."
Well, maybe that was it.
He was playing the aforementioned Ugo and Bear.
Oh, right. Ugo. Yeah. Blimey. He's having the world, the rules changed
good
around
win.
Him.
Good win, Ugo.
I don't know if Ugo and Bear is specifically requested.
Incidentally, go on.
If Dimitrov wins his next match, which is against Christian Garin, Dimitrov will finish the season in the top 20.
Wow.
How has that happened?
Semi-final of the US Open. That's how. He's not done yet. I should also quote Bagpuss on Twitter, who's written to us and said during the Shapovalov-Zverev match, "Don't know why Zverev doesn't get a job he likes," which I thought was quite apt. Incidentally, one other note from a former colleague of ours on the tennis circuit, Tom Ulnert, who these days is covering football in Spain for Associated Press, I think it is. He has said today that he was at a press conference with Gerard Piquet, and he said that Piquet said that the Davis Cup plan is for a two-week tournament with 24 teams in the future. He said, "We sent Federer a letter and was surprised by his statements." He said, "They see Davis Cup as competing with his competition." And he added, "He'd be happy for Federer to change football. Would he be so interested to do so?" Who would think it?
Interesting.
What would Federer do to football if he had the chance? Probably give Basel a bye through the early stages of the Champions League.
What would Federer do to football? Probably set up his own little rival to the Champions League.
Yeah. Well, at Tennis Podcast, let us know what you think. Right, well, anything else? Anything else before we bid good night? Catherine's got the beer out already, I see. She just sort of sneaked that into the picture here on the phone in her apartment. I've got no beers at all, hence why I'm having a rubbish time, apart from the conversation we've enjoyed for the last 32 minutes.
Absolutely savage. I've treasured these 30 minutes as much as you have, David.
Yes, indeed. Right. It's Halloween, folks. I'm off to trick or treat. And we've been the Tennis Podcast, brought to you in association with The Telegraph, executive produced by tennisballs.com, mascot Rio with a Y. Stop laughing. And we'll be back with another one of these tomorrow, where hopefully nobody retires. See you then.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.